I'm a dingus.
Welcome, everybody.
Hi.
Oh, hello.
Reckless Attack, the podcast where we absolutely snipe one another for saying dumb, weird stuff after our 5 seconds of silence. I am, as ever, your GM, Nathan. And now that I have put that into the intro, it has to go into the episode.
Correct.
Because otherwise it just doesn't make sense. Sorry. I am surrounded by the excellent people who are a part of our 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons Actual Play podcast, starting with the individual to my right.
Hi, everyone. My name is Steve, and I am playing Selv Asterlin, the dragonborn monk who is in a skyship.
Yeah.
Indeed.
In the air.
Indeed.
And cruising at velocity.
Big time.
I thought you were going to say waving around like you just don't care.
Oh, no. No, why would I do that? That would be insane. And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm David, and I play Kaskrin Brightmane, a dwarven sorcerer. And Kaskrin is recovering,
Well, I wouldn't even say that quite
he
yet.
He is on the path to getting to recovery.
He is working, striving ever onward to get to be able to one day, maybe.
Yes, and I also say I, David, the person, given that we are now sniping one another, have at least 10 minutes of audio I will put in front of this episode. It's just gibberish and garbage and us just shooting the shit.
The front of the episode, specifically.
The episode.
Okay, okay.
That's going to be the intro now. It's going to be a little pre-roll that we have.
Hey, you're the editor. So I look forward to seeing your creative vision in action, David.
And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan, and I play Checkers, the Grung Druid, and his trusty frog pals, Mango and Junior. And being on a skyship is a lot more fun than he thought it was originally be. Like, he thought it was going to be exceptionally fun to begin with. But now, just a day in, we've already been surrounded by first ones, chased by an arcane storm, crashed landed into a cavern system. Like, this is peak adventure.
You guys fit in essentially a mini story arc in about 2 episodes slash one canonical day that was mostly just vibes.
Yep. And it's a great time so far. And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie, and I play Valeska Carter, the human cleric of the Arcana Domain. And Vale just summoned a fucking fire elemental.
That's true.
She is the most powerful being on Rixia. This is going straight to her head.
She is at least as powerful as approximately one frog.
Yeah.
And so that's, I mean.
Yeah. She doesn't. Does she know that?
She's operating on one frog power.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Right.
Which is a lot.
That's a lot.
Absolutely. I mean, we have a, you know, between 2 and 5 frog power individual in the guild. But, you know, 1 is still pretty good.
No wonder Checkers is the way he is.
Yeah, that's true. That's
Vale's starting to get it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He is the greatest adventurer. Uh-huh. And it's scientifically measurable in frog power. Guys, that was a close one. After a close one that did not go your way, there was a new close one that, in fact, went extremely your way.
Yes.
Because
the dice tell the story.
The dice indeed tell the story. And the story was a semi-free fall out of the air in a skyship that busted through the ground into a previously unknown cavern system, whereupon you guys did some emergency repairs, fended off first ones, resummoned a fire elemental for, as far as you guys know, one of the first times in mortal history over the last several centuries, if not maybe millennia, and then just went ahead and scooted on out of there. So, pretty good. Pretty good, all in all. The issue. So, as a reminder, you made a big hole in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You, especially thanks to the power of this resummoned fire elemental, were able to exit said large hole ahead of the arcane storm that all of these first ones seem to be residing in, controlling, influencing, relationship unclear. You were able to zip out just in time to kind of get clear of the storm. But the storm can move too. Mm. So
real bummer to learn.
It's a bummer to learn.
And it moves not based on wind direction.
Doesn't
which
seem
is
to.
Also kind of a big
bummer.
It's a bummer, also a red flag.
Yeah.
Something weird's going on.
Indeed. So I'm going to set the scene for a piece of information that I'm about to tell you. All right, everyone, get up on the decks. Batten down what you can. Hold on to what you can't. Action all over the place. Members of the crew trying to get what they can repaired, trying to squeeze every ounce of power and speed out of the ship that they can. You see large piles of armor, aka the bones, holding up the ship mast as Captain Silvertooth Livingstone barks orders at everyone with his one remaining eye wide and bloodshot in concentration, in fury, in perhaps pure adrenaline exhilaration. Because the storm follows. The good news is, thanks to Val's ability to read.
Wait, you can't just say read. To power read. To read a language no one has read on Rixia for millennia.
It's like read with a capital R.
Yeah. Like the, or even probably capital and the EAD.
Yeah,
as
why
well.
Not? Yeah. Kaskrin can't read.
No, she has taken a warlock level to be able to read. thanks to that, your ship is a little bit more powerful than it was, and noticeably so. Those sounds of kind of crackling fire are now an inferno. And man, that cloud does not disappear as fast as you would hope.
Are we actually outpacing the storm?
What is difficult about that is it is nighttime. As you emerge shortly after sundown, you have the entire night of running away from what amounts to a huge orb of blackness with strange eldritch lightning running across it. So the sense of scale is kind of tough to manage. And so, all night, one or all of you are tasked with looking behind you to see if you've gained any ground. And you cannot tell for hours. There is no slowing up. There is no deep breaths. Throughout the entire night, you guys are making repairs on the fly. You guys are trying to do what little you can to get this ship, which again, fell out of the sky, and make sure it keeps going as fast as it can. I'll ask you all, very briefly, what's the task that you do in the depths of the night to do even something very small that you're doing as kind of a mini montage as you are arcing throughout the night sky?
Val's first priority would be to heal everyone, to heal the crew. Be like, if we're going to outrun this thing, we have to be operating at peak efficiency. She restores hit points, passes out trail mix, make sure everyone's fueling properly. Really relies on her new bond with the Tims and saving
the trauma really, bond,
yeah,
that
the
has
trauma
been
bond.
That has been forged in this moment.
Yeah.
My first thought was Kaskrin is like fixing the plumbing for some reason.
I love that.
And I mean, was like, but is there plumbing on a ship? I don't know.
He's like, established because like the fire elemental has like pipes and
oh,
things
yeah.
on everywhere.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's fixing the plumbing.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And like that is one of those things where it is not necessarily immediately obvious, but it becomes very clear to you that like, oh no, like, you know, it has like a speed gauge, right? And it's like,
yeah,
huh,
right.
This speed gauge seems to go up a lot higher than it seems like it should. And you realize, yeah, there's several leaks that you absolutely have to like, I'm imagining, what are you like using your like big stone hands to just kind of like clamp over, or what does it entail for you to fix these pipes?
I'm honestly imagining just using your stone hands with like scrap metal to just like clamp it over the hole in the pipe kind of thing.
I'm just imagining like Kaskrin's like squatting, and like any good plumber, he's just got that crack.
Deeply canon, we haven't asked for this in a while.
Although you are made mostly of stone, so it's more like a fissure.
Yeah.
We haven't asked for this in a little while, but dear listeners, fan art.
Please.
He's got the
Please.
Suspenders on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Checkers is out on the hull as this ship is flying at breakneck speed, and he's just crawling all over the outside, trying to plug up any holes in the hull that he can with like bits of broken wood, and just like really trying to increase decrease the air resistance.
Yeah.
But he's basically hanging on to this ship on a knife's edge. And having the time of his life.
Checkers is living for Arrow right now.
Right, yeah.
Selv doesn't have a whole lot of ship experience, and also doesn't have a whole lot of magic, but what he does have is some elemental stuff, like mold earth and things that are, because the entire top deck is right now soil.
Yes, indeed.
It'll probably go through used mold earth to make it mechanically not difficult terrain.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Smooth it out, maybe put a couple of shapes up into it so that they're like handholds, or there's something that maybe somebody can brace themselves next to. Just little stuff like that.
Sorry, I never have used for the spell, and I'm curious. Arcanus magic aura.
Okay.
So I'm just curious, because it takes, really, again, I never have a use for it, but you place an illusion on a creature or an object you touch so that divination spells really reveal false information about it. If it's an arcane storm, like, how is it detecting us? So I think I will make our magical ship appear non-magical.
Okay.
I'm sorry if that throws a wrench into the whole thing, but like, no. I have no cause to use this most of the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry,
no.
What was the name of the spell?
Arcanus Magic Aura.
Very cool. Love that. Okay. This adrenaline pumping race happens throughout the night. There is no letting up. As soon as there is a moment where you think you can breathe, you have the voice of a dwarven captain in your ear telling you to make yourself busy. And it is not until the morning, when the dawn starts to creep from behind you and behind this arcane storm, do you take a few moments, take a few measurements, and realize you are making progress. You are outpacing, but you have not yet outpaced. This goes on the entire day. Throughout this entire journey, it is in the rearview mirror the whole time.
How does it look in the daytime?
It is unnatural.
Yeah.
It is pitch black. It is as if all light is being sucked into it. You guys on your adventures have seen an arcane storm. It was at night, or at least Selv has. And again, probably all of you are familiar with it, have probably seen it from a distance, that sort of thing. It's not so rare.
But also wasn't hunting.
It wasn't hunting, and it doesn't look like this in the daytime.
Yeah.
Something is different about this one. And night falls again. And once again, now it is further back, and so you almost have an even harder time of picking it out in the distance. But you keep going.
I do want to ask, too. We've been traveling at like a soul-crushing speed for over a day now. Is the ship, like, what's the ship condition like?
I think you would have to, which I'm assuming you do. It's one of those things where you would have to like stop and look at it, you know, or not pull over. But I mean, you'd have to intentionally be like, all right, let's check it out. Let's see whatever, because it was so breakneck.
Yeah.
But between the things that you guys have been doing, it's kind of holding up fine.
Huh.
And anyone who has been in the engine room, I guess, for lack of a better elemental engine room.
Val would have made, even in our crazed, hunted state, Val would have been like, guys, I saw wind in elemental. Yeah. You gotta go check it out.
Everyone can easily take a turn, I think, after probably hour like five.
Yeah.
Can go at least check it out really quick. It is thrumming. It is hot in there. Previously, it was just kind of a little toasty. Now imagine, you know, kind of the classic working down in a coal engine, you know, kind of heat where you step in, you're there for just a little while and you are sweating. And the elemental, again, for anyone who goes by, seems pretty nonplussed by the whole thing. It is sitting in a bath of water, I think we have described previously, causing a ton of steam to go up through the various pipeworks. And it is also shooting off fire periodically as well, just up through these ducts over and over again.
Just had this image of a fire elemental reclining in a tub with like a book, just like flipping through a magazine. So, yeah, you know, just going to sit here. And relax.
It is doing everything but the flipping, essentially. And it doesn't show any sign of fatigue. This is seemingly effort beneath it.
I also love the fact that over centuries and centuries of magical and technological innovation, our best form of propulsion is still boiling water.
Yep,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's steam engine, baby. Yeah.
It's very efficient. Yeah. Uh-huh. And, you know, you don't have to keep casting spells at it. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is summon a very large elemental and there you go, and bind it and have it agree to certain runes and blah, blah, blah. And like, yeah, steam power.
Right.
At this point, the crew is ragged. Mm-hmm. Things have calmed down because, to your point, David, all right, you've kind of fixed what needed to be fixed. You've battened down whatever hatches are required to batten.
Caskron's at the point now where, like, we've scrubbed the deck so much. Now we're, like, waxing and polishing it. Just eager that little bit more speed.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of, I assume, various frog slimes across the hole from both footprints and just, again, I don't know, maybe the slipperiness also affects how wind goes. I don't know. Let's find out. Now's a great time. And still, Captain Livingstone keeps pushing. Or at least he would suggest to Admiral Captain Checkers. We don't know what this thing's gonna do, how long it'll chase us. I don't wanna waste all of today's work, today's back-breaking work and sweat to ease up now. What say you?
The crew's looking pretty rough, but I think we can handle a couple more hours at least. I agree. I don't know if we could handle having that thing catch up to us.
And he nods. He says, all right, everyone. The Admiral Captain has spoken. We push on through the night. We won't let those worms catch up to us. Onward! And, you know, there's probably some groans.
Val would pipe up and be like, but have we thought about shifts?
What's
the bare minimum number of people needed to run this ship at the speed we need?
All right. For now, emergency shifts. Two guilders, one Tim, and two and a half Joes. There's five of them. First shift. Decide amongst yourselves. The rest of you get some shut-eye.
So Selval kind of stand up from kind of smoothing out some of the earth and just be like, I'll take first.
Kaskrin is also going to volunteer for the first shift. He's got a pretty hardy constitution, so staying up, you know, this amount of time on watch, you know, totally fine.
Guard work.
Yeah, guard work. And I am also kind of imagining, I want to say the Burden joins us for the first shift.
Cool.
And we're kind of all settling. We're trying to settle in as best we can while the other half of the crew, I imagine, like, you know, they fall onto their beds, pass out immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And get some rest.
So I'm going to throw a wrench in this because Checkers is actually also very accustomed to staying up long days. This is not anything new for him.
Fine. One to two of the frogs. Yeah. Take a rest.
So I actually, can we give the Joes a break and just have like the whole crew?
A million. Yeah, absolutely. You could 100% be like, hey, I got three frogs. Don't worry about it.
I can handle any kind of muscle work. And like, you know, if the Burden and the Seeker want to hang out and help out, I'm sure we could handle it.
You have at least five crewmates who don't need sleep.
I was gonna make a note that the members of the Bones who went on break would do so because they were told to,
right.
Not because they needed a break.
Uh-huh. Does Val need to sleep?
Val needs to sleep. She doesn't dream.
Oh, okay.
Val's already in bed when Checker is asleep.
Yeah, great.
Does the captain get some shut-eye?
The captain does not get shut-eye.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
No, no one else knows how to drive the ship at this point.
Right.
You know, like, if someone else is up, Captain Livingstone is up.
Okay. So it's Checkers, Kaskrin, Selv, and the Burden. And presumably also the Seeker somewhere.
Yeah.
you could go ask the Seeker, and the Seeker would be very fine with it. But again,
she's up in the mast.
The Bones don't have to sleep. It's not like they need to rest or anything. Unless they actually do for some reason.
No, they just have union mandated breaks.
Right.
In that they're like, well, workers get breaks, and we should give ourselves breaks, and that's good. But also, like, they don't need a break.
Yeah, right. They just, like, go stand in the corner for 15 minutes.
They would be pursuing whatever their specific interests are. Like, I'm counting my rock collection.
Yeah.
And that is a great break, isn't it? I'm seeking things. I'm looking. What a great break.
I'm being a problem.
I'm moving things.
Yeah. And we're kind of just, you know, covering the duties around the ship.
Yep.
Val takes a long rest. I put it in D&D Beyond.
You can't stop me. I clicked the button.
Yeah.
Your rest goes unimpeded, apparently.
Yeah. And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hi everyone, David here with The Midroll. We hope you've been enjoying the episode so far. If you want more of the Reckless Attack crew, come join the community on Discord. The link is in the show notes of the episode and on our website, recklessattack.com. If you want to support the show, head on over to Patreon, where you can get access to our behind-the-screen talkback series, as well as our new series, Reckless a Snack, where we eat snacks and chat about the question of the day. As always, if you like the show, be sure to tell a friend about it too. Thanks so much for listening, and now, back to the episode.
The night passes. This is, again, much less breakneck work. It's now, you know, a little bit more of that pace of the first day of travel before, you know, the sentient storm attacked you. You're still moving fast and there's, you know, certain projects that need to be done with a part of it. But at this point, the ship is seemingly running a little smoother. And yet, you race on throughout the night.
Val makes a hearty breakfast for everyone when she wakes up from her rest.
I have a quick question, actually.
Please.
Do either the Burden or the Seeker have any thoughts about being chased by a storm like this? Because I'm imagining this is definitely out there for anyone. Even a Actually, maybe it's not. Maybe this is well within their...
Even the people that have been out there.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been around for hundreds of thousands of years.
Do you ask this, and who do you ask?
I love you, David, but as a personal favor to me, Sophie, please ask the Seeker.
Again, I, as a GM, have to ask.
I will ask the burden.
But
while
the Seeker is standing there?
The follow-up question is, when do you ask the burden? Are they, say, doing something?
Yes, I will say they are doing something. Like, I will say we're at the point now where all of the major work has been done. And so now it truly is like we're reorganizing things.
Yep.
And we are, you know, making sure the ship is ready. Like, and there, like a lot of things got jostled.
Absolutely.
And so like we're cleaning all that up. And so like that's when we're not like striking up this conversation. We're like in storage, putting things back together.
Well, says the burden, I've certainly encountered arcane storms in my patrols over the years, and I had heard about, of course, the encounter with the first ones that, well, one of our patrols and then later you all had. But no, nothing like that. I found it helpful to be pleasantly surprised when Rixia finds new, interesting ways to try and end my existence. And he's saying that as he is lifting up a, like, full 500-pound box of something to stack it above him.
You know, maybe I should also adopt that attitude, given how often we're in danger. Maybe there's something to this whole just let it happen kind of thing.
Are you a thrill seeker, Kaskrin Brightmane?
And Catherine chuckles to himself. Oh, no. I think you would call me the opposite of a thrill seeker, actually, given that I had done the same job for 40 years of my life.
Similarly, I have done my same job for... Nathan pauses.
Time has no meaning.
Many decades.
Yes.
That has been stated out loud on this podcast before. Does not come to my mind at this moment.
Yes. I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but I am curious. Why do they call you the burden? I mean, everyone else seems to have their thing. The Seeker seeks, the stone rocks.
What more needs to be said?
Yeah. So, why you? Why this name?
Well... Again, he says as he is like has multiple barrels under each gauntleted arm.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, a few reasons. I find the process of organizing, of moving things, very comforting. I don't know why, but I believe that if you asked any of us why we do the things that we do, I don't know how many of us would have an answer for those sorts of things. Why does the stone enjoy rocks? Well, don't ask. They might go on for some time about it.
To be fair, rocks are pretty cool.
But also, I have a curiosity of the problems that others carry with them. Perhaps selfishly enjoy hearing them. I find the experiences of mortals very interesting, especially in the problems that they have and try to persevere through.
Kaskrin and the burden end up talking for a while. And I'm kind of like, there's two things I kind of want to add a little bit. One, I'm imagining Kaskrin is opening up quite a lot to the burden. Like, we start talking about like Kaskrin's past and the burden's, you know, adventures, and it's like, you know, having this whole conversation.
Yeah, and you probably retroactively realize that the burden has already,
yeah, right,
like, you know, nothing intrusive, but has just asked one or two personal questions here and there, you know,
right,
just to kind of get at that nougaty Kaskrin center.
Right.
You're unburdening yourself.
Yeah, right. And it's just like, you know, Kaskrin doesn't even realize it, but it's like, yeah, the Burn's really good at like asking follow-up questions and you know, a great conversationalist. It's like, wow, all right, cool.
Especially when doing something.
Yeah, right. And also just like, I imagine they haven't really stopped moving this entire time. Like, there's kind of a lot of work that needs to be done in cleaning up the storage area after we've been jostled around. And as they're talking, he starts realizing things are looking really good. Like, boxes are being put back in their place, cups and dishes are being stacked neatly. And after a while, it looks, I hesitate to say immaculate, but better than when it started. Mm-hmm. Everything is so well organized and lined up and just like satisfying to look at. It's comforting in a way. Like, he is making that comforting environment while they're talking without him even realizing it. And he kind of spends that time in conversation.
Eventually, the morning comes. And high atop the mast are a few individuals. The Seeker is up there with a fairly ornate telescope.
Hey, that's mine.
That a name has been seemingly scratched out with the Seeker written over it. Simone. The large snake. And
if Simone is up there, Checkers is not up there.
Okay.
Yeah. We're not. We've got like a love-hate relationship with Simone right now.
that bond has not yet been repaired. Yes, yep. That makes sense.
The wrong kind of trauma bond.
Yeah.
You wish it was Simone else.
Boo.
That was a good one.
Yep, very good.
This is what happens when you let Steve cook.
Yeah. That was a good one. And this is a moment everyone's been waiting for. Everyone has a plate filled with what, Sophie? That Val has made for breakfast?
Oh, the hearty breakfast.
Beans.
I mean,
the musical fruit.
I will say there's a full English breakfast with beans.
Yeah.
You mean a full
Rixian? Agmarian?
Agmarian breakfast, which is obviously
the
same as beans.
Beans. But Val will also have made pancakes.
Mm?
But they're not like pancakes. They're the like cornbread honey.
Yeah,
like
classic.
Johnny cakes. Because that's what I am craving. Right now, pancakes.
Because Val also made a plate for Sophie.
Yeah,
and you're about to enjoy that. And the whole crew is up on the deck. And it's very obvious that, like, when you woke up, those of you who went to sleep, you couldn't see the arcane storm. Man, it would be a real, real bummer if you let up the gas after all that. So, you know, there were some conversations, little chit-chats here and there. And once everyone got their portion of Agmari breakfast.
Beans.
With a double helping of beans, because we're on a ship, obviously.
Mm-hmm. There's a barrel of them.
You see,
in the berth, a barrel of beans.
Seeker collapses their telescope and leans over towards Simone. And after a moment, Simone exits the crow's nest and snakes her way down the mast.
God, what a terrifying sight, honestly.
Yeah.
Because is Simone full snake, or does she have little legs?
No, she is full snake.
Okay.
Yes, with just a particularly large cape, I think is the term for it, and a bunch of glowy bits and yada yada. But it's essentially like 10-foot plus long.
Still terrifying.
Big snake. And then slithers up Captain Livingstone, and right next to his ear, she does some form of hisses. And Captain Livingstone, who again has been up this whole time and has not almost moved an inch from the wheel, his hands let go of the what is it? Is there
a wheel?
Is there a better? Wheel. Is it just the wheel?
You take the helm, I think.
Let's go of the helm. We'll say that. Whatever. No, leaves the helm. That's what I'll say. And says, everyone, job well done. And the crew's like, yay! But they can't, like, clap because they have plates and whatever. But it seems as if, for now, to be clear, you don't see the storm anymore. Now, I, GM Nathan, probably don't need to tell you experienced adventurers that it's almost like one of those of, if you don't see the body, can you be sure that they're dead?
Mm-hmm.
Did you outrun it? Did they turn around? Did they go somewhere else?
Terrifyingly, can they turn invisible now?
Yeah. Can they turn invisible now? All you know is you can't see it anymore. All right, everyone. With that, that doesn't mean this ship's just gonna run herself. Or maybe it does, he says, looking over at Val, the person who apparently resummoned whatever weird fire elemental.
She gives him a thumbs up.
I've been looking at the maps a bit as I've been driving. I think we'll be able to reach our destination a bit earlier than we had hoped, or than we had planned. So, those of you who worked through the night, you have the day to yourselves. Rest, do what you need to do to make sure you're able to protect this boat when we get to where we're going. The rest of you, duties is assigned, but enjoy a little sunshine. And he kind of smirks as he says it. All right, dismissed. So, those of you who are up are sent to bed.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Those of you who slept, which is Val,
yep. Mm-hmm.
And the Tims and the Joes are all, you know, kind of bustling around. But again, you, Val, feel once again, okay, the ship is a pretty well-run machine. You get your tasks, you get a couple things here and there to do, but at this point, essentially, you guys have been working on repairing the ship for like 36 hours, essentially, basically. So things are pretty smooth. So is there anything that you would like to do, basically, with your day to yourself?
Val finds all the manuals.
Ah, yes.
Val reads.
Val reads. So you, again, the big one is the manual that you found, kind mm-hmm. of there. But you now are able to walk the ship and find other little bits of writing hidden here and there. And I think we established previously that that was something you had kind of started noticing and picking up mm-hmm. all the way from mostly faded arcane symbols and signs that are the equivalent of like warning, hot, all the way to scratch marks and what must be centuries old graffiti mm-hmm. of people who had been here before. Certainly there are a couple scraps of paper of books here and there, but the prize mm-hmm. is that kind of user manual, essentially. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that if you study this or others study this, mm-hmm. those who can read will be able to pull at some threads about not just this ship and the technology behind it, which, as again, as a reminder, was lost centuries ago because the Pentarchy stamped it out, but also of elementals and the summoning, binding, creation of packs therein of. Unfortunately, the reason that it's not straightforward is because it's written very contextually and matter-of-factly. So a lot of it is like assumed knowledge and assumed context where it's like, oh, well, let's tell you the whole history of all this. It's like, no, insert elemental A into elemental slot B and then the engine works. And that's kind of what it is. But if you kind of look at it and you tinker a little and you try some stuff out, it might be something there. Might be something there.
Val, while reading, will document a list of experiments in priority order that she would like to run by the captain to improve the efficiency of the ship. She'll wait till he naps.
Very so, reasonable.
Question for Val then is, would Val translate and...
I already thought of it. Val is studying and listing the experiments in which to get better performance out of this ship as the first thing, but then will like translate, scribe it, but I assume that would also take time and she'd rather do it at the Desk of Doing.
I was going to say, the Desk of Doing just does that snap quick.
Yeah.
Where are you doing this work? Oh, you would, but you would have to have gone into the engine room at some point, right?
Yeah.
To get like manuals and see what other scraps and stuff were in there.
Mm-hmm. As Val is reading up on the manuals, there's a small like workstation in the corner of the engine room where the manuals are, where the Tims had to like dig through the cubby underneath it to find the manual that let her gain library.
Library power.
And the kind of opposite of that is where all the charcoal is to feed the elemental, and then like the chute next to it with the glass dome. And, you know, as she takes a break from reading the manual, she goes over to that glass dome, now swirling with a re-energized elemental. And out of curiosity, she puts her hand on the glass.
From inside, the glass and runic container, and clearly not burning so hot as it was a few hours ago, you hear a voice.
Valeska Carter, do you know how long it has been since I have been bound?
Hi, it has been 36 hours? How long has it been?
Yeah, I mean, 24 probably. Well, maybe a little bit longer at this point. But
oh, that's interesting. That's not how I took that question.
Same. But I like the answer.
Yeah, that's good.
Val will say, we made our pact 36 hours ago. Also, what may I call you?
What's your insight's pretty high, right?
My passive insight's like 18.
That's what I thought. It occurs to you, you didn't mention your name. Ever.
Huh. That's true. Val flips to the make a pact with an elemental section of the manual.
Just really casually.
Just like review it real quick.
Yeah.
My kind do not have names in the way that mortals do. I am Conflagration.
Well, thank you for showing up, Conflagration. You really saved us.
I had been smoldering for so long. The passage of time was unclear, and so I have much to thank you for as well, for restoring me, for stoking my embers and returning me to fullness.
I'm happy we could help each other out. Val will ask, hey, how did you know my name?
I was summoned, and so it is known to me. I see your name, I understand who you are.
Interesting. There's so much of the information about elementals, about magic, that has been lost to time for mortals that we are relearning.
Things in this mortal world do seem to fade. But I am bound for as long as there is power to enforce our compact. I persist.
Will you persist if I cease to persist?
Previously, I was bound to this ship by another mortal, Demir Bey. Tell me, do you know if Demir Bey exists?
From what I know of the history of this vessel, it was created half a millennia ago. And if Demir Bey was a mortal, there is a very slim chance that they would still be in the mortal realm.
Then I believe the arcane workings that confine me here will likely be enough to continue me here.
Well, that's comforting to know.
Once this compact is over, I shall return to my elemental essence. Whether that happens soon, whether that happens long after the empires of mortals have fallen, I simply am and will continue to be conflagration.
Well, thank you very much. And I, again, cannot stress how impeccable our pact timing was. So thank you.
When the rest of you wake up, your sleep schedules are fucked.
Yeah.
It's all fucked.
There are snacks.
Yeah, you woke up in time for dinner, but, you know, alas.
This is terrible. I hate this.
Yeah.
You have your cocoon.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
You slept for 8 straight hours.
And I'll sleep for 8 straight more. Yeah, you can't stop me.
Are the clothes that we had imagined ourselves in still there?
Oh, yeah.
And I think Selv's going to put those on.
Ooh, going to look fashionable.
Yeah.
How does Shekhar's feel about his outfit?
He has replaced the large brimmed hat that he imagined himself in with the large brim hat from Lorana Moonglove.
You have you fully have a collection.
Yeah. And it goes surprisingly well with the ballroom gown.
The colors don't clash?
No, it works out really well, actually. Huh. So yeah, he shows up for dinner.
In formal wear.
The vibe of the dinner is interesting. Mostly just because everyone's exhausted. At least everyone on the crew is exhausted. At the end, Captain Livingstone says, like I said, we've been making good time. If we sail through the night, we may reach the edge by morning. So, those of you who call yourselves guilders are hereby excused of any boatly duties for the time being. I think we'll need you rested up for whatever mission you've sent us here on. For the rest of us, men, it's another time to dig deep and be the best damn crew in the Rixian skies. And there's, you know, kind of a little heartened
Val is like, yeah!
Smirk.
Yeah. All right. Dismissed. And people start filing away either to bed or to whatever. You know, they kind of have their own little shift that they've adopted even without the Craigs. And the night passes again. And it passes undisturbed. In the morning, who wakes up first? I feel like we always have a fun answer to the question. I ask a lot, and I always am lightly pleased with the answer. So, who do you think wakes up first on this day?
Well, Val's the only guilder that didn't fuck up her sleep schedule. That's true.
I'm like, did Kaskrin sleep? I don't know. He's like, he needs that consistent sleep schedule. Yeah.
he didn't sleep well if he did. Yeah. Makes sense.
Well, I think Selv would have done some meditations, calm himself, and then been able to relatively quickly get back on a normal sleep schedule.
I'm going to say actually the opposite, where Kaskrin just fell asleep immediately and it was totally fine.
Yep. Very into that.
Being in the guards, like, yeah, he can sleep wherever.
Checkers was up the whole night waiting for Simone to leave the crow's nest and go to bed. This is, again, like Val and the Desk of Doing. I'm like, as soon as Simone is out of the crow's nest, I'm in there.
Yep. Eventually, Captain Livingstone has to go to bed.
Right.
And one of the Tims kind of takes over and is able to steer well enough. And
that's
Simone
when we bounce.
And then Simone follows.
Yeah. Yep.
And so, Checkers, mm-hmm. you are the first to see.
Great.
From a distance, as the sun is rising, a sight that few have ever seen. And I will venture to say that probably at least some of your characters probably never thought they would or particularly wanted to see ever again. The remnants of Sunfall, the wasteland from whence no one has ever returned, the Deadlands.
So as Checkers and the Seeker are up here in the crow's nest, we see our final destination, the Deadlands.
Don't say that. Yeah.
Maybe not final. Yeah.
I'm taking that as consent. Yeah. Right. Check.
I've lived my life a certain way since I moved here. I probably can't do this.
It is desolate. It is flat. And as the two suns rise behind the Skystalker, somehow we don't see a single shadow, and it stretches as far as the eye can see. Checkers just turns to the Seeker and says, "All right, it's go time. I'll go get the others." And he scurries down the masts and the ropes and disappears into the hold.
Having woken his fellow guilders, Checkers launches, I assume, is the good
Absolutely.
Verb, back up the stairway.
Mm-hmm.
And the three of you follow and join the rest of the crew up on the deck. The first person who is out on the deck feels a crunch under their foot as whoever it is, or maybe everyone, all three of you, take a step out at the exact same time.
Yeah.
Dead grass.
The grass is dead underneath you. And Captain Livingstone has returned to his usual post, manning the wheel. And he grabs at a pouch that is placed next to him. You all would recognize this. This is a bag of granola, of Valeska premium granola. And he kind of looks at you guys and he says, "Welcome to the world of the waking. Can I interest you in some breakfast?" And he reaches down into his bag and throws it at you. But instead of crunchy, oaty, fruity goodness, it is sand, like the sand on the ground beneath you. You hear a Joe call up from below deck, say, "You're right, Captain. All the food gone. Water disappeared. All of it." The captain looks at you all and says, "And here, I expect, is where the dangerous parts begin." And that is where we'll end this week's episode. See you next time, everyone.
Why? Yeah. Why did you do this to us?
Now I'm hungry.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
You have a actually kind of very nice, reminiscent of home meal. Where again, whatever the dinner equivalent of an Agmari breakfast is, whatever that comfort food is.
Val, reheated Popeyes.
Yes.
Torts.
Perfect.
Can I ask which of the Craigs was the ship's chef and is no longer with us?
Craig was.
Craig was? Ah, lame.
Alas.
That's why we're reheating food.
Yeah. Right, exactly.